Miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Wow.
It is a Friday, and it's a loaded Friday, I got to be honest. A lot going on. Antonio Brown is losing his mind. There's three different Antonio Brown stories circulating. We'll get into that a little more. Preseason football last night. Okay. Stand by for news. And don't forget tonight, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers start their preseason, taking on the Steelers, Antonio Brown's former team. We'll have the pregame at 6:30, live play-by-play at 7:30. Gene Deckerhoff and company right here on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Wow. All right, so let's get right into it with Adam Schefter. First off, recent, this is just in the last hour. Antonio Brown's recent absence from the Raiders camp has more to do with his helmet grievance than his blistered feet, according to league sources, which we just talked about.
Unbelievable.
Which we just talked about. He's got a hearing set up, which I don't know. So Kevin Seifert tweets out, and he's right. NFL policy right now announced in April that punishes teams if any player wears a prohibited helmet. So the onus is on the Raiders to enforce this against Brown, who would not face league discipline himself if and when he breaks the rule. But the Raiders would. So I don't understand why a meeting has been set up, which apparently it has, for an arbitrator. I would think if the NFL offices are at 345 Park Avenue, he's going to leave camp and go fly across the country for that nonsense?
Hot air balloon.
That's the funniest thing I've heard all day.
Michael Silver, well-respected author from Sports Illustrated, has tweeted this out. Since joining the Raiders, Brown has frustrated his new bosses by showing up late to numerous meetings and by often appearing unfocused in them. Brown, according to witnesses, typically glances at the screens of several tablets and his smartphone during meetings, distracting himself by engaging in activities which include pursuing his bank accounts and liking photos on Instagram. Still, according to one source, the meeting thing isn't that bad, but the feet, helmet, and going dark is an issue.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Why is anybody surprised? This is what you signed up for. A me guy for the Raiders, not a team guy. Raider fans are going to hate this guy eventually. They will hate him.
And just keep in mind, the NFL has been trying to phase out the – basically, it's the smooth, round helmet. I mean, Tom Brady was one of the last ones to wear it. Up until last year, he was grandfathered in. But now – because he liked the peripheral vision a little better.
Because he's a grandfather.
And he's – is he? No. Had to think about that for a moment because he is that old. So, and I guess AB still wants one of the helmets that we see today. People, they got concussion grooves or impact grooves and holes in them all over the place. His helmet, he wants that old school helmet, but he can't wear it. The NFL doesn't allow it anymore. I don't even know why he's wasting the real estate on this.
But if it's that, here's what I don't understand. And why is there Brown expected to have a hearing that will occur as early as next week? And an arbitrator will decide whether or not he gets to wear the helmet he wants. That's an Adam Schefter story. I don't understand that.
I don't either.
How do you get to have a meeting when the rule is there?
The rule's there.
It's right there. You can't do it. So why would the NFL waste everybody's time by granting him a hearing over this when the rule is simply, what? You're going to make an exception because you think you're AB?
No. It's going to be a short meeting. He's going to fly all the way across the country. They're going to say, you're not wearing that helmet, and then he's going to go back.
And if he gets it, imagine the hissy fit Tom Brady's going to throw.
Tom Brady's already wearing his new helmet.
All right, it's 5 after the hour. Time for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris. Hopefully no soccer.
I'll leave the soccer out of it. No need to inform people. We've got two preseason games to...
Two
preseason games tonight, 99.3 ESPN. We're going to have half the slate with the Bucs in Pittsburgh taking on AB's former team, the Steelers, starting at 6:30. The other game, Saints hosting the Vikings. I was kidding. That was a pretty good game. Eagles backup quarterback Nate Sudfeld underwent wrist surgery today, expected to be out 6 weeks. And Lions wide receiver Jermaine Kearse, broken left leg, out for the year.
A little queasy there. You know, the Mighty Quinn says, I'd rather hear Craig yelling goal than hear the Fins Up or annoying Dolphins song.
Fins Up, Dolphins!
Play. You know what, Chris? It might be time for the song. I mean, Preston Williams was a glimpse of greatness.
Preston Williams, future Hall of Famer.
I think you need to fire up the song at least once today.
Can we wait for a second? Can I read more of this Antonio Brown stuff from Michael Silver?
Yeah, but it's not going to stop me from playing the song.
We can play that. Can you play it? Just wait till I read this, and you can play it to your heart's content. Just so it doesn't distract people, because this is a big thing. Michael Silver is really all over this.
He's Mr. Bay Area. I mean, he does national stuff for the NFL. He's from San Francisco. He's all over the Raiders and the 49ers.
This is about AB. This is how it starts. Even before suffering bizarre injuries to his feet, Antonio Brown alarmed Raider coaches and teammates by railing against the NFL's enhanced enforcement of helmet regulations, a policy change which will likely force the star receiver to switch to a new model. Brown's vocal resistance to the mandate, both during OTAs and shortly after his arrival in Napa for training camp, has contributed to a disconnect with the team that acquired him, blah, 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 blah. According to four sources, four familiar with the Browns' current absence from camp, which dates back to last week, Raiders coaches and players are concerned that the receiver's unhappiness regarding the helmet issue may be playing a role in his decision to stay away from Napa. Brown initially left to seek an additional medical opinion on his frostbitten feet. Before leaving, Brown pushed back for a third time against the league's prohibition of the helmet model he has worn for his entire 9-year career. His continued frustration surrounding the situation has created a buzz among teammates and coaches, one of whom referred to the SAG as, quote, honestly, the most insane thing I have ever heard of. I don't know why it's so important to him. It doesn't make any sense. The pushback began in May when the receiver was informed by the Raiders that the NFL had officially eliminated the 1-year grace period for certain helmet models, including the one worn by Brown, which had fallen short in laboratory testing for head impact severity. This meant that the Brown and 31 other players who finished the 2018 season on NFL rosters, including Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, would have to switch to approved helmets. On a conference call with reporters earlier this spring, Jeff Miller, the NFL's exec VP of Health and Safety Initiatives, said that any team found to have known about a player wearing a banned helmet or to have facilitated the use of one would be subject to league discipline. Each team's equipment manager has been instructed to remove all banned helmets.
I'd say let him scramble his head, but he apparently already has.
All this was conveyed to Brown at the team's training facility a few days before the start of Phase 3 OTAs, the first time players are allowed to wear helmets. When he showed up for the first OTA, however, Brown requested his old helmet. After being told he'd have to wear an approved model, witnesses say the wide receiver loudly voiced his displeasure, complaining quarterbacks such as Brady and Rodgers were not being subjected to the same scrutiny.
Yes, they are!
They were.
They were!
Shortly thereafter, Brown stormed out of the facility to protest. Later that day, Raiders officials found video footage of Rodgers during the Green Bay Packers OTA session wearing an approved model helmet and texted it to Brown. The following day, Brown showed up in Alameda and acted like nothing had happened, accepting the new helmet from an equipment manager without protest and completing the workout.
Wait a minute. However, the Raiders had to take time out of their day to go clip some video of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady wearing appropriate helmet to text to this baby.
However, sometime in the next couple of weeks, Brown once again tried to take the field with his old helmet, which he had since had repainted with colors approximating but not completely mimicking the Raiders' silver and black design. He was told that the helmet was not allowed once again. He acquiesced and wore the new model. Before Brown arrived at training camp last month, coaches and teammates believed the issue had been resolved. But Brown, who practiced on his tender feet for only 2 days before leaving Napa to seek another opinion, tried yet again to sneak his old helmet onto the practice field, ultimately being told by team officials to remove it.
Why can't the Raiders take the helmet?
They've tried. He keeps sneaking the other.
It's a helmet.
It's a team-issued helmet. It's got the Raider logo.
No. I think he sneaks his own. Like he brings it in from his car or something. I don't think.
They need to take it from him and throw it away. It's an obsolete helmet.
One Raider player says he's still freaking out about it. He hasn't been here for a while, and no one knows where he's at. All of this has created an aura of mystery surrounding the receiver whose highly productive tenure with the Steelers ended, as we all know, blah, 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 blah. And then it goes into what I said earlier about showing up late for me. This guy needs professional help, and I mean that seriously.
Well, maybe he's been concussed so many times he's a nut job. Or he's got some kind of problem upstairs.
This guy has got issues. We know he has issues. This guy's got severe issues.
I mean, he's a narcissist. I know that, but I think I don't want to make light of mental illness, but good Lord, he's up there.
I still, the part about this whole story, which I don't understand at Adam Schefter's part, is where he says Brown is expected to have a hearing that will occur as early as next week. Why would the NFL grant a hearing? The rule is clear. You know? It's right there. They're precise and inviolable. They're right there. You don't. That's it. End of story. Three times, is it three or four times I lost track. He tried to sneak in his own helmet. What are you, nuts?
Who's in charge over there?
Well, I think they've caught him every time. So
Mike
give
Mayock.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, no.
Get rid of the helmet.
No, I think.
Here's the problem.
I think physically, take it from him. I think they have, Craig. I think they have. And this is on Rod Martin, the head athletic trainer.
You can't just buy a Raiders decal, go to the Sports Authority, sorry, Dick's Sporting Goods, buy a silver helmet and slap the decal on there.
I understand that. But maybe he has. He probably has more than one of his older type model helmets with him.
Yeah, they're all Steeler helmets. I mean, how many can there be? How many Raider?
At least three.
How many authentic Raider helmets can they be? Is he sitting around the old training area in the locker room?
What also is aggravating is this had to have been happening during week one of Hard Knocks. Had to be. They didn't mention it at all. There was no mention of this at all. They said this was happening right when this cryo freeze went awry.
You know who's not a diva?
Don't say it.
Preston Williams!
Hall of Famer. Let's start making the jacket now. Let's cut that. He looks like he's about a 48 regular.
Really? Chris, I'm sorry, but people on the text line are calling for the song. But it's the first time of the season.
I really am. I'm trying to pull it up. Something's happening with my computer over here.
What's wrong with your computer over there? Hold on. I mean, we give the people what they want.
Of course.
We take requests on the show.
Of course.
It's a Friday, for crying out loud. Let's have some fun. The dude looked good. Non-diva receiver.
Looked excellent.
You have it or are you still stalling?
Yep. I'm still working for it.
Almost looked as well as Jacoby Myers. Almost as good.
Who?
Well, but those two guys are going to be locked in.
Better than
Rosen and Stidham. Williams and Myers.
Better than Faye said, let AB wear the stupid helmet. Maybe someone will knock some sense into that big baby. Yeah. Might be related.
The greatest football team.
Where?
Take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
I hate the Texans who requested this.
Chris is doing a lot of singing on the show today.
When you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl hosts.
1973.
Miami Dolphins.
Number one.
At what? Draft picks.
You are 1-0.
Dolphins. Hold on. Let the banjo take it away here, boys. You pluck a banjo, you know that?
You do what?
You pluck it.
What? That's with a P?
Pluck? Yeah, I should turn that down. Puh.
Miami has so Dolphins, the greatest football team. We drink the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Eric says, what if AB is paying more for this helmet himself and trying to protect himself more than the NFL will? No, Eric, there's a reason.
Miami Dolphins number one in the 2020 draft.
Eric, the National Operating Committee for Standards and Athletic Equipment has banned those other helmets.
Everybody!
Nobody! So bad. So much better when the Oilers used this back in the day.
They stole it from the Dolphins.
This was, well, they kind of did, actually. But Houston Oilers back in the day with Earl Campbell, Dan Pastorini, Renfro. Come on, Craig. Much better.
But I was just in the mood for it today. I'm sorry. Oreo texting in, I hate the song, but I do love the banjo solo.
Of course you do, because everybody loves a banjo solo.
Married 1 year Negative. Says, completely unrelated note, there is no better feeling than preseason game one overreactions.
Undefeated.
That's why I am calm with my lowly output in the Motor City last night against the stupid Patriots.
And Big 12 guy would like a list from Pete.
A list of what?
I'll get a list.
Just any sort of
A
list?
Yeah. Again,
I will reiterate
the most desperate, pathetic tweet of all time.
Yes.
Oh.
I could say,
we're fine.
Yeah, we're fine.
We're fine.
And you know who you are.
You're clearly listening to us.
Dumbasses.
It's by the only upped by the Detroit Lions PR says this came out at 4:06. I swear to God, you can't make this stuff up. 4:06 Eastern Standard Time yesterday, 3 hours before the game. Detroit Lions PR.
Yes.
Lions are 12-4 in their last 16 preseason openers, tied for the best record in the NFL over that span. Then there's a space, hashtag one pride, and then a picture of
Lion Pride. Get it? The play on words there.
Yeah,
see what they did?
Yeah, I get it.
Restore the roar.
Restore the roar, baby.
Picture of number 19 and number 11 jumping up with the number one in the air. 12-4 in last 16 preseason openers. Tied with the Baltimore, that underneath a very small print, which I have to magnify now to see. I didn't see this earlier. Tied with the Baltimore Ravens and Seattle Seahawks for the best record in that span. Let's hang a banner.
Let me tell you.
Year 62 of the rebuild.
Oh, my gosh.
So this record, 62, is it really? Is that what 1957
57,
is?
57, right?
62 years, yeah. That's good math.
Quick math.
So this goes back to 2002. So basically, we could say that the Lions are the team of the 2000s for week one of the preseason. And that's a fact.
Until last night.
That's a fact.
At least the 2010s.
But the fact that on the bottom, in small print, it has to put tied with Baltimore and Seattle for the best record over
that
stretch.
Well, I know Seattle lost last night. Did Baltimore win?
Yeah, they won. Baltimore. They shut
out. So Baltimore actually has got a one-game lead on us.
Baltimore has the best preseason, week one record.
And Seattle does, too. Seattle won last night.
No, Seattle lost, I thought.
No, they won.
Paxton Lynch. Lynch had the screw-you Denver Bronco touchdown. That was a nice
Seattle
run.
Seattle was a three-point dog, and they won.
That was a nice run.
Wow. Trace McSorley didn't look too good, huh?
No.
9 of 22, 85 passing yards and an interception.
Yeah. Not too good.
Lamar Jackson better stay healthy.
Well, not with that style.
Or RG3 better get his thumb unbroken.
Yeah. Well, that'll happen. It'll unbreak after 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Unbreak.
So, I mean, listen, the good song, by
the way. Oh, my God. Was that?
That was a good song.
He was just singing Unbreak My Heart.
That's a good song.
Unbreak is something just triggered upstairs.
I can't believe you even know that song.
It's a great song.
I can't believe
you
know that song. It's post-1990.
No, I know that song.
Is that Whitney Houston?
No. It's what's her name? The blonde girl.
Celine Dion?
No.
Britney Spears?
No. Unbreak My Heart.
Have you seen Taylor Dane? Celine Dion?
Taylor Dane, I want to say.
I believe it is.
I want to see Taylor Dane.
Could be.
Yep.
Tony Braxton.
Tony Braxton was the name I was thinking of.
Was it Tony Braxton?
She's not blonde.
She's...
Well... No, she's...
Not even close.
No, she's married to, I think, or still is. Maybe
Hold
not.
On.
This
let's
is...
Check, let's
Curtis,
check.
Kurt should marry Curtis Martin.
Let's check this.
You know that?
The running back from the Jets?
And the Patriots, yeah.
Not the... Nobody thinks of Curtis Martin as a Patriots running back.
Well, the trade... That's a Parcells debacle right there. That's what happened.
Made his bones as a Jet.
Not really.
Fact. At the time, I think he retired as the fourth leading rusher in the NFL.
Opening day, his first game as a Patriot, beat up on Belichick and the Browns, if I remember correctly.
Nope, Kerry Lewis.
Huh? So nothing Pete has said.
Sorry, that's her ex-husband, but they were married from 01 to 13.
Yeah, she was married to Curtis Martin for a while. I know that. They did a show together.
I was going to say, everything Pete has said in the last 90 seconds is unfactual.
It's not. It's all factual. Everything's factual.
I'm calling you out. I'm calling BS. A challenge!
Greg Allman with an update on what happened yesterday, by the way, at Raymond James. There was a small explosion, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, I saw this.
In a vendor area of the 300 level at Raymond James Stadium. We talked about it briefly. Both workers were treated and released from the hospital.
They're working
yesterday
on a gas line and it blew up.
No structural damage to the stadium, with total damage estimated at $5,000. That's not bad. That could
they
have been.
They dated from September of 96 to May of 98.
All right, I'll offer that. My apologies to Pete Shepard.
Jeez, I don't might have told you.
Their compatibility rating on who rated who or who dated who.com was 29%.
Wow.
One heart.
See, I'll step up for Pete. When I call Pete Shepard out for being wrong and then I'm the wrong one, I'm mad enough to say I'm wrong when I'm calling him wrong.
Mark Maskey, Washington Post NFL reporter. Eagles backup QB Nate Sudfeld could return in 6 weeks after surgery today for a broken left wrist, and it's confirmed by Adam Schefter. That could reinforce the Eagles' initial plan not to immediately add a quarterback and go
That's right.
with Clayton Thorson. And Cody Kessler behind Carson Wentz.
I'm not starting this conversation again.
I'm just telling you.
We got more Northwestern news today than I can care to deal with.
But we do.
I mean, if I lived
it's
in,
such a stupid name for such a smart school.
Northwestern?
Yeah. It's
because they're actually in the mid-eastern area of the state.
The state, yeah.
No, you're right.
Right. Like maybe Midwestern.
I mean, it's almost Gary, Indiana, for God's sake. It's so far east. Unbelievable.
Disrespecting
I mean, granted, Evanston. You got to have a high SAT score to get in. I get it. Fine.
No, I know. It's just, you know, maybe at the time when the school was, that was the Northwestern part of the
country. I just saw a tweet last night. Here's what the other thing. In the Jets-Giants game,
right?
Did you see?
I don't know.
Did you see Adam Gase hit the smelling salts before?
Yes!
He's crazy.
What was that?
He got the crazy eye look again.
What is that?
It's unbelievable how you become the coach of the Jets, and all of a sudden you got a new meme coming out every month.
New beard.
Nobody talked about him when he was in Miami.
I'm convinced he took smelling salts before that press conference when they introduced him when he had the wide eye.
I could see him taking a hit right before going on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Gold Jr. this morning was saying you put a couple of those in a cup with some water, and that really, like, intensifies the smell.
Have either of you ever smelled a smelling
salt? No, but I feel like we should do it before the show starts.
I'd be willing to do that on the air as the show starts.
I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of NFL players actually do it maybe before, or maybe I've only seen it when players get knocked out of games, or boxers, you know, when they're knocked. I've only seen it in a time of dire need. I've never seen somebody on a sideline that's wide awake, or nevertheless, not to mention a head coach, pop smelling salts right before kickoff.
I've seen numerous players do it at the start of the game.
At the start of the game, you're right. Yeah. At the start of the game, yeah. But I've never seen
Brady do it. I mean, it's normal. I mean, a lot of people do the smelling salts just to get themselves woke.
A lot of these guys drink like 5 cups of coffee before they go out there.
That'll make you poop.
Then you got to pee and do all other stuff while you're in the game. You can't. I mean, who wants to do that during a game?
Well, I mean, we've learned that you can pee yourself while playing a game of football.
Yeah, or you go in the tent.
You can
and do
poop
it
yourself.
In a cup.
Many guys poop themselves while they play.
It's disgusting. Football's such a disgusting sport. I've seen a lot of pukers.
You can do the three P's. You can pee, puke, and poop during a football game.
You cannot poop during a football game.
Oh, it's happened.
Oh, I know.
It's happened.
I mean, just think of the grunting and the physical exertion. Something may slip out. Exactly.
Just looking at the video again, this was just...
It was weird. I did see that. That's funny.
They're pretty cheap. I'll get some.
You're going to get us some smelling salts, Chris?
Yeah.
Hey, I just had a great idea.
What?
I won't have to pound 2 Diet Mountain Dews a show if I get some smelling salts. This might be better for my health.
Jack you up.
Don't you think? Is there any negative possibility, medically speaking, from smelling salts?
I'm sure there's something.
We'll have to look that
up. All right, I'll grab some this weekend and Monday before the show.
Where does one just get some?
CVS.
Seriously?
Yeah, they have their own brand.
What section?
The
medical section? Like where you get allergy medicine? And
yeah, like I'd imagine it'd be...
And...
No, I'd imagine it'd be by like the NyQuil, the DayQuil...
Smelling
salts. Nose related,
is it
right?
Called smelling salts?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Unless that was a fake website I went to because it got all 5-star reviews.
Wow. Very good.
I'm going to update our Twitter poll real quick.
What would you
rather watch?
Oh, gosh. We're really late.
Little League Regional, the Premier League opener, Little League Regional, which we should put the Midwest one on now. 62%.
And we're watching 4-0 soccer.
All right.
Is that
fantasy football talk next?
Well, with Mario Puig from RotoWire.com. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Don't forget Buccaneers football tonight. Pregame 6:30, kickoff 7:30. And we'll get into this more. We've been covering a lot of Antonio Brown today.
Oh,
Adam
boy.
Schefter with another tweet. This is in addition to the ones we've been talking about. He says he will not play ever again if he can't wear his particular style helmet, which is now outdated and outlawed in the NFL. So the saga continues. Which, in a way, ties into our next guest.
And the Raiders have been sending him, just quick, Brown, other approved helmets to try out at this time, but he is not interested in wearing any of them. take your helmet and go away.
He might have to. Mario Puig is a senior writer and an expert at RotoWire.com. For two decades, the industry's premium fantasy sports resource. Let RotoWire help you win at fantasy football. They have all the draft kit information that you'll need to dominate your league. Get a free 10-day trial at RotoWire.com/free. Mario, how are you?
Hey, Mario.
Hey, guys. Good. How are you doing?
I was good. I was thinking about drafting Antonio Brown first.
No, not really.
But still, this is a problem, man. This guy's going crazy now with the feet, the frostbite, not wanting to play without his helmet, being AWOL. In fact, the Raiders couldn't find him for 24 hours. If you were considering Antonio Brown very early in your fantasy draft, what would you do?
I would have to hold off right now. I don't know what exactly what advice to give because there's no manual for something like this. But he's definitely, you know, unstable. It's like, is it one of those things where they can gloss it over and kind of get him to settle down a little bit? They maybe can, but they might not be able to. It's kind of interesting that they can't seem to be on okay terms with him when it's not even, you know, their rule, it's the league's. You know, you maybe could trick him into at least just getting mad at the league instead of the team and cooperating with the team in the meantime. I don't know. But I'm not going to try to draft him because I wasn't that high on him to begin with. In point per reception leagues, it's one thing. Even with Derek Carr, who I'm not particularly high on, I figured he could get to 100 catches even if he only gets 4 or 5 touchdowns. And if you're getting a point per catch, it doesn't really matter so much. But in standard scoring, if you don't get points for receptions, he was already kind of a problematic pick, I thought, because he'd usually go in the late second in the drafts that I've looked at. And, you know, spending a top 25 pick on a guy who can't score touchdowns, not to assume he couldn't, but I just don't think Carr will throw that many. And then just getting involved, and I just don't know where to leave him. So he's pretty much off my board because I'm sure there's some point in the draft where I'd be willing to take the risk, but there's probably someone else who's willing to take it before me.
Well, you know, I'm interested to know how, and this is a little bit different than Le'Veon Bell, but how did you handle the Le'Veon Bell from a fantasy football draft perspective last year? And again, only because it's uncertainty now. Antonio Brown, who knows what the hell's going to happen, but Le'Veon Bell was kind of like, well, you know, do you take a risk? Maybe he's back in week 3, but turns out he wasn't back at all. How'd you handle that situation last year?
Well, I think Bell was a lot more of a blind side because I guess that might have been like what should have been his third year in a row of being in that exact situation. And the previous times he showed up right before the season started, and it just seemed like he was going to do it again. But with Brown, we're at least getting, you know, a bit of a warning ahead of time that this could get weird. It already is weird, but it, you know, you got to wonder how weird it can really get if this is where we're at in early August. So at least we're not, you know, learning about this September 2nd or something like that. At least we're getting it out in the air now. And it's more concerning. There's a lot more reason to be alarmed ahead of time in this case because with Bell, you at least had the prior history to look at and convince yourself it would go the same way. And in this case, it just seems all bad, really.
Mario Puig is with us from RotoWire.com and RotoWire Magazine. In fantasy football, unlike pro football these days, we have a greater importance on the running back position for sure. And yet you talk about question marks. Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley's knee. A lot of question marks. What's your advice to people that will most likely be drafting a first-round running back?
Yeah, it's a lot more complicated than it was just a couple of weeks ago. It's the Zeke holdout. It's the Melvin Gordon holdout. And it's the Gurley knee has been a problem for a while, as you said. But even like Damian Williams, who was a pretty popular target in the second round, third round, he's had his hamstring issue. So it's turned into a minefield awfully quickly. And there's a couple ways you could try to counter that, I guess. You could embrace the risk and, you know, just really wing it, assume the best, assume that Dallas will pay Elliott, assume that Gordon will, you know, give in with his holdout and show up. The Le'Veon Bell situation from last year shows, in my opinion, that we can't really take a whole lot for granted anymore in those cases. So you can also try to pay up a little bit more for other running backs and, you know, avoid the risk that way. Maybe target David Johnson if you have the fourth pick and Saquon, Alvin Kamara, and Christian McCaffrey are all gone. You could take someone like Le'Veon Bell or Nick Chubb, especially now that Duke Johnson's out of Cleveland. Maybe you take Nick Chubb a little earlier. You could also just go after the receivers because as much as, you know, we want that 35-point running back, of course, every week, but a guy like Julio Jones, Michael Thomas isn't going to hurt your team. Maybe you're not going to get as much high points upside week to week as some of the running backs can give you, but you're also not going to end up with a zero with one of those guys like you might. Not to say I have any insight on how it's going to go with Elliott or Gordon, but with Bell happening the way he did last year, it could be another zero for all we know. I don't really expect that, but it's not like I saw the Bell situation coming either. So, yeah, you can go wide receiver heavy, and if you're, especially if you're in a league where you got the free agent bidding as opposed to the waiver system, you can kind of just pick up running backs if somebody gets hurt or if Zeke ends up sitting out, maybe week one it's somebody like Alfred Morris or whatever, Tony Pollard. If they don't get picked in your league now, maybe you can just pay up with your free agent bidding to get them later. That's certainly a strategy a lot of people try to take. But the honest answer is I don't think anybody can know for sure what's going on right now, and everybody's kind of they all feel like they're on thin ice right now when they're in the early draft and they got themselves on the clock and you're at the third or fourth or fifth pick and you know a couple weeks ago I would have just taken Elliott here, and now there's just no real easy answer to what should be done.
Well, you mentioned David Johnson in the fourth pick, and I happen to have the fourth pick in our company draft last year, and I took David Johnson, and needless to say, it was I wasn't happy. Not his fault. Bad offense.
But, right.
But I know things like that can happen. What about some real ultra sleeper picks? I mean, guys like Sony Michel is one who I think is going to be a feature back this year for the Patriots, and there are several others out there that I think have a chance that may be overlooked. I'm not saying in the first round, but they could give you potentially good first-round numbers. We saw what guys like him did in the postseason last year, and when he was healthy at the end of the season, six touchdowns in the postseason, six in the last, like, six games, I think, of the regular season. So where do you stand on the real sleepers, guys that you could maybe take in the fourth round but might give you first-round-type numbers?
Yeah, so in the fourth round and later, I mean, sometimes you'll see some names that you already know. Like sometimes a Leonard Fournette will fall that far. He's got his issues, of course, but it's one of those things. Even if he's only fully healthy for 1 year in an eight-year NFL career, for all we know, that could be this season. And sometimes he falls into the early fourth round. I certainly believe in the talent. I don't know what to make of his work ethic or health or whatever, but the guy was pretty convincing at LSU. And even as a rookie, I was pretty convinced with him. Sometimes Devontae Freeman will fall into that range, and Tevin Coleman left Atlanta this offseason. They didn't really replace him. The guys that they got in the backfield behind Devontae Freeman I don't think are very good. Safe to say they're nowhere near Freeman's level, and yet that Atlanta offense should be pretty good this year. It wouldn't be surprising if Matt Ryan threw for 5,000 yards. They play in a dome, I think, something like 14 games this year, 13 games, 14 games. So they could be high-scoring, and Freeman could get in on it to a pretty big extent. Otherwise, a little lower, I mentioned Tevin Coleman, his former teammate. I think him and Matt Breida in San Francisco are both nice values. And Coleman's had some injury issues, and Breida was pretty convincing last year. But it also might be a lot like Freeman and Coleman in Atlanta, where they in San Francisco they got the same coach who was running that show back there. So you can get Coleman sometimes as late as like the sixth or seventh round, actually. And at least up until recently, you could get Breida in the 12th, 13th. And it's Jerick McKinnon's knee is being problematic right now. So it seems like at least one of Coleman or Breida is going to be good this year because that Shanahan offense usually puts up numbers. I think it's worth it to get both of them and then just kind of let the situation sort itself out. And, you know, sixth rounder and a 13th rounder for maybe a top 10 running back output over the course of the year is a decent exchange rate, I think.
Mario Puig is with us from rotowire.com. Final question for me. If you're in a 10-team or a 12-team league and everybody is taking running backs, at what point do you kind of maybe pick six or pick eight? Do you maybe go, well, it'd be better for me to go get a receiver like D-Hop? And by the way, along those lines, what is your favorite receiver at this point?
There's a lot to like at receiver, especially at the top of the draft. I will say I'm probably lower on guys like Devontae Adams and Michael Thomas than most people. It's not like I expect them to be bad this year or anything. It's just you usually see them go in the same range as Juju Smith-Schuster who I am higher on than most people. I think there's a good case to rank Juju first among receivers, and yet you'd sometimes see him falling to something like the 15th, 18th pick. I'm very high on Odell Beckham as a talent, but he's a little bit more of an injury worry than someone like Hopkins or Juju Smith-Schuster. But I think Odell Beckham is maybe the best receiver in the league when he's fully healthy, and I definitely believe in Baker Mayfield. So I'm high on him. But yeah, there's definitely, I mean, a lot of people believe in taking receivers as soon as the fifth pick, the sixth pick. You might have heard of the zero running back theory that's out there. Those people are going receiver very early, and then they just try to catch up at running back by hitting the waiver wire, hitting the free agent bidding when the other running backs who go in the first and second round get hurt, which usually happens. I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, David Johnson broke his wrist in week one. Sometimes things like that happen, and sometimes the backup's pretty good too. So it's definitely a valid strategy to go receiver earlier than some other people. Just because it's a little bit against the grain doesn't mean it has no merit to it.
Yeah. Mario Puig, a senior writer from RotoWire.com and RotoWire Magazine. Thanks so much, man. It's a great start. We're going to ponder these things. Thanks for coming on. All right, that is Mario Puig, and coming up.
Hang on. We got more. I got to get this in. All Antonio Brown, according to Adam Schefter, has told the team, unless he gets to wear his old helmet, he will not play football again.
That's what we said at the beginning.
No, I know that, but this is like now, this is like...
Yeah, Schefter's quote.
Schefter's quote is...
But in case you just tuned in and missed it, yeah. We've been having a story about AB all day about three or four different elements.
There's also more breaking news about the officials in Lee County.
Oh, good.
No, not good. Lee County Schools has denied any pay increase to football officials at the meeting today. The officials have reaffirmed that they will not work it without some sort of pay increase. Right now, next week's preseason games, kickoff classics, whatever you want to call them, on Friday night in Lee County are very much up in the air. And from what I'm being told, the entire football season is a question mark for Lee County.
The entire season? That's ridiculous.
Come on, man. Let's get this.
This is for the kids, man.
Jeez. I'm trying to find out more information right now. I've been hitting up the news press pretty regularly trying to follow this as close as we can.
Let's get the three of us in there. We'll go volunteer for some games. Of course, I can't run up and down the field like that without getting winded.
So I guess that Lee County's working with the FHSAA right now, the governing body of high school sports in the state, to try to get officials from other parts of the state. But as we know, Collier County officials have already said no, that they're standing with the Lee County officials.
All right.
And Antonio Brown, again, 50 seconds ago, had a two-hour hearing today with league officials regarding whether he would be allowed to wear his old helmet. His NFL future could be riding on it. Adam Schefter has the updated story, but we have Wikipedia coming up.
A lot going on.
After 5 o'clock.
Why is a hearing 2 hours? It takes 2 seconds to say, no. No, we don't wear that anymore here. Goodbye. Good day, sir.
Two-hour conference call with league officials today.
Dude, the Steelers look like geniuses. Right now.
Great point, Chris.
Yes.
All right, caller number 9, 20 Mo-Bucks at Moe's. If you could stump Pete Shepard on trivia today. Wikipedia.
Had a Joey bag of donuts today for lunch.
Yeah?
It was delightful.
Yeah?
That's their burrito that they call it over there.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
from Moe's.
I'm with you on
that. That's helping out the sponsor, you know?
I'm all for it. Caller number 9, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Stump Pete Shepard, Wikipedia next. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter, shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia. Brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Moe's caters draft parties, tailgate parties, retirement, and office parties. We cater any event. Wheel Southwest delivered. Visit Moe's.com/catering or call 239-384-3387. Welcome to Moe's Catering.
All right, here we go. Southwest Florida on a Friday. Time to play Wikipedia. Stump Pete Shepard for prizes at Moe's. $20, 20 Mo-Bucks. I love Moe's. All right, let's do it. We've got Ray in the Cape. Welcome, Ray. How are you?
You can call me Ray.
I'm great.
Ray, how old are you?
Older than dirt. 71, sir.
Good Lord.
So you can
a terrible thing to say, Craig.
You can call me Ray, or you can call me Jay.
That's it, buddy.
Miller Lite, baby.
Ray, I usually ask people what they do for a living. What did you do for a living?
I was a radiation physicist.
A what?
Wow. Radiation physicist.
Radiation physicist. Wow, wow.
Nice.
All right, very good.
Big words.
All right, well, you're a smart guy with a difficult
doctor?
Career. I'm going to make things easy for you. This is easy Wikipedia today.
Do we need to call you doctor? Do we need to call you Dr. Ray?
No, I don't have a doctorate.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Well,
you don't want to elevate him too much. He's about ready to take you on. All right, Ray, question number one goes to you. Who invented the telephone?
Alexander Graham Bell, sir.
That's right. He said it's a laughable question. It's so easy. He has a 1-0 lead.
A little bit of a challenge
there. All right, more of a fun. What do you mean a challenge? It was Alexander Graham Bell. Back.
Some may differ.
But yeah, these are really easy, aren't they?
All right.
That means I'll
Pete Shepard.
Yeah.
Who did Lady Diana Spencer marry?
Prince Charles.
All right. So you, I heard you hesitate. You thought this is too easy.
They're trying to trip me up here. That's what you do.
It is 1-1. Back to Ray in the Cape. Ray, what did the seven dwarves do for a job? I did not know this.
Oh, this is easy. What do you mean you didn't know?
They were miners.
Yeah, all right, Ray.
What'd you think they did?
I thought they were just short people that hung around Snow White.
No.
I didn't know they had jobs.
Stop it.
So remember, hi-ho, hi-ho. It's
off to work I go.
Yeah, where do you think they went?
I don't know.
I think they were whalers.
I know this song, for gosh sakes.
How do you not know that? They always had the picks. And
I
the
didn't
axes.
See them down in the coal mine with black faces and inhaling all the coal. All right, Pete Shepard, your chance to tie.
Yep.
Who said E equals MC squared?
It'd be Einstein.
All right, we got a heated battle here.
A equals MC squared.
It's 2-2. I share a birthday with Einstein. We're both equally smart. Ray,
he flunked out of college twice.
One of you got all the brains.
What? Oh, so I have a higher degree than
he
Einstein.
He flunked out of high school twice.
Okay.
This is the game right here.
Ray, this is for the win. Ray, what color is a panda? Jeez, Chris.
Black and white.
You are a winner! Ray, congratulations!
As a bonus, where is their native continent?
The native continent is
or country,
Asia,
I should say.
In China, mostly.
Yes, you're absolutely
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Ray is on top. You can't
Sorry,
stop
those
Ray.
Fat fingers.
All yeah, right. Ray, congratulations.
Job, Ray.
Stay on hold. Chris will take care of you. You have a fantastic weekend. Thank you for playing.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, it was Ray. The pleasure was ours. Thank
what
you, Ray.
You
what a gentleman. Oh, he smoked you.
He did smoke me. I got a question right.
Nobody got any wrong.
Smoke me.
All right. Here we go. If we were to continue, yeah. Pete Shepard, could you tell me what does the Roman numeral C represent?
100.
Yes. You would have got that right.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Chris is still on the phone. How many dots are there on two dice? Would that be two die or is it two die? It says two dice here.
Okay, 1, 3.
Because the math.
7, 5, 12, 8. 36.
Incorrect.
What do you mean? No,
I mean it's incorrect.
Hang on. 1 and 2 is 3.
Uh-huh.
3 and 4 is 7. 7 and 5, 12, 18.
7.
It's not a 7. You don't roll a 7 on one die.
No, I'm adding
There's
1 plus
21
2
21 on a dice.
Therefore, how many on
die? I'm thinking, what does it add up to? Not the actual dots. Okay, you got it. Yeah, you're right.
42.
You're right.
All right. Yeah. What is the name of the famous big clock?
Big Ben.
In London.
Big Ben, I've been there.
You got some fat fingers over there today.
Big Ben, yeah. Parliament. Great line in European Vacation. Remember Chevy Chase couldn't go, I cannot get left.
Fact.
Big Ben, Parliament.
All right. We have two, not one, but two huge stories developing in football. One in the NFL with AB. And one here in Lee County that is it's just we'll discuss.
It's sort of heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking and stupid all at once. All that coming up. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.